Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. My dearly beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can clearly see from the gospel reading this evening how special this particular Passover meal was to our Lord Jesus. He wanted to be alone with his disciples. No crowd, no curious passers-by, no strangers, no happenstance people. He and his disciples alone. What is more, he spoke some urgent words at this meal. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus, hungry and thirsty for the righteousness of God, which he is bringing to completion, to fullness. Jesus, craving within himself to finish out the sacrifice he had come to make. The disciples and Jesus celebrated the Passover together before. This one is different. This celebration would end forever the Jewish Passover. From the time that the promise had been made to Eve in the garden that the son she would bear would be crushing the head of the serpent and he would be wounded in his heel, down to the time of Abraham at the offering of Isaac his son when God interrupted him, Abraham said to Isaac, God will provide himself the victim. Down to the promise of the New Testament through Jeremiah you heard tonight, and countless other promises, the shadow of this coming victim has fallen. Now, the substance is here. By his death, Jesus terminated the Passover. Better, he fulfilled it. Now, it is obsolete. Those who live in it chase the shadow and reject the substance. At this Passover, Jesus brings the old to its end and grounds the new in his own sacrifice. For I tell you, I shall not eat of it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Some commentators refer this to the after this world banquet of the Lamb at the end of time. I do not understand the text that way. I understand it to mean that the next time Jesus celebrates the Lord's Supper with his disciples, he will have finished his work of the crucifixion and resurrection. For I think he is here tonight, eating and drinking with us, as well as feeding us. The supper he establishes for us is the Lord's Supper. This is the marriage banquet of the end time. That night when he established his new testament in his blood and fed the disciples on the body and gave them to drink of his blood, begins that way into the most holy place, into the presence of God. He is the high priest who offered himself once and for all time, backwards and forwards, for the sin of the whole world. He is the victim God provided himself with, the sacrifice which ends all sacrifice for sin. His body is that living way, and by him we are bold to stand in the most holy place, that is to stand where God is. For this friend, who invites us to this meal, unites us in sweet communion with God in himself. He is God and man, one for us. The New Testament is the forgiveness of sins. For in this way, by his word, the Holy Spirit works to create and sustain faith. There is where God, the King, is ruling. The kingdom of God is fulfilled in him. And he takes us into his rulership to give us faith, keep us in faith, in the eternal life, here in time, and forever in heaven. The first cup mentioned by St. Luke, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you from now on I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. This first cup in Luke is the second cup of the Jewish Passover celebration. And then Jesus took bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The Jewish Passover, the last piece of bread, a big piece was broken, a small part and a big part. The small part was dipped in the bitter herbs and passed around to everybody at the beginning. The big part was dipped and passed around to everyone at the end. It is this big piece that now Jesus, when he passes that out of the Passover, ends the Passover. For now what he gives is his body. Eat it. This is my body given for you. Do it in remembrance of me. That is, preach me. Teach me. This is the body he sacrificed for us. It is given to us by him. That body is the way, says Hebrew, into God's presence. That body is the one we eat. For in it, that body takes us into the new life of righteousness, his life in rising from the dead. That's the body he puts into our dying body. Faith does not make that his body. Rather, it is the faithfulness of the promiser that makes the gift what he says it. Likewise, then, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the New Testament in my blood." This cup is the third cup in the Passover, Jewish Passover. It's called the cup of blessing. St. Paul refers to that in 1 Corinthians 10. With this, the Passover meal is finished for the Jewish rite. Now, Jesus ends that Passover. For in that cup now, the cup of blessing, he pours into it the fullness of everything that he is and everything that he gives, his very life, the blood of the New Testament. With that word new, then, Jesus is not describing merely an event which is the first in a whole series, and now after 2,000 years it's quite old. We did this a couple of days ago. You know, this is old stuff to us. It is not new in that sense. Indeed, there was the first time with those disciples. But the quality of new in the New Testament is that the life of God takes us into partnership with Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. There he unites us with his altar. New in this meal means that in the midst of our sin and death, there is living the life of God in the heart of faith. As St. Paul says, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Here he brings himself and gives himself and invites us to believe it. We do not make it by believing. We receive it because he gives it, and we receive it by trusting him. With the shedding of his blood, the sacrifice for sin has been done. There is now no more sacrifice for sin. The cleansing of your conscience, when it is prickly or restless and can find no rest, the cleansing of your conscience before God is in this blood. The bodies of the priests in the Old Testament had to be bathed before they offered the sacrifice. Jesus, our high priest, was also bathed. He underwent the baptism for our death, for his sacrifice for us. Likewise, you, God's priest, are washed with the pure water of baptism, bathed for this sacrifice. But you do not make this sacrifice. You receive the benefit he made and put into it for you. In his death, in his blood, is the power, the grace, and the life of God himself telling you, "By the offering and blood I have set your conscience at peace and free." Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, says the messenger in Revelation 19. And then St. John, the writer of Revelation, goes on, and he said to me, "These are the true words of God. Blessed are you, my people, indeed. Blessed am I in this very hour." For he invites us to the marriage feast. The Lamb himself invites us. How are we to respond? How do you use this meal to receive the heavenly gift the Lord has put into it? Jesus instructed his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." such remembrance is preaching Christ, our true one and only sacrifice. On the old covenant at Sinai, the contract that bound both parties, God and man, and God and Israel, and they broke it. That old covenant was mediated through Moses. But here, in this meal, God himself, God's own Son, is the mediator. This meal is a sacrament, not a sacrifice. Here God reveals it in the truth himself, and he binds his promises to that Son. The value and the merit and the power of Christ are given to us in commitment by God through the death of that Son. Therefore, to remember him is to preach him. As you do when you eat and drink, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. As you do when you sing and listen to each other in the liturgy, in the hymn, in the reading. The preaching and the hearing are to be true. This is the sacrifice God made and now gives. In this, we are flat out recipients, eaters and drinkers, not doers and makers. Furthermore, from the words of Jesus, take, eat, take, drink. You are to learn to receive what he received, what he gives so graciously. The Holy Spirit taught us the same words in the psalm that we sang. I do not particularly like that translation that we sang. I will lift up. It is better to say, I will take. I will receive the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. There is no other way, for there is no other sacrifice for sin, except receiving what he here gives to us. Then the psalm continues, from which that intro was taken. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. What, you ask? Is there nevertheless something that we are to do and add to the meal? Some sacrifice we are to make to fill out this supper? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. What is it? No. It is not what we ask. The vow to the Lord in the presence of the congregation is the vow that we will trust this God in his word of forgiveness and in him alone. That word given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, that is what we vow to hold to. Eating and drinking are the chief thing in the sacrament. This is not merely to be stared at or carried around in parade. It is to be eaten and drunk. But it is eaten and drunk worthily when the words of Jesus are trusted. Trusted alone. Nothing else. Trust him in that word to deliver to us what he said he delivered. The forgiveness of sin. He who trusts that word has what that word says. The vow is not our addition to the sacrament to make it complete. The vow is the oath that we swear in the presence of the people before God. We will trust no one but this Jesus for our cleansing. Hold fast that confession of faith without wavering, said Hebrews, because he who promised it is faithful. This meal is for the faithful, for the disciples, not for the passers-by. The curious ones, for eating and drinking is a proclamation that he is our Savior. Eating and drinking is a confession of faith, a confession that Jesus alone is our hope. The confession that we eat and drink in the company of the congregation, we are standing in the courts of the Lord, that is, in the kingdom of God. We are in the midst of his church, that is, in the midst of Jerusalem. Those who do not believe, or those who make a contrary confession, are not to eat and drink at this table. For when you bite here, you have bitten into eternity. This holy food is for holy people, that is, sinners, who are cleansed and hallowed by the water of baptism, by the word of Jesus, which is preached to them, and in their hearts they hold. So you are to examine yourselves in preparation for eating and drinking. But such examination is not a purgative examination, as if to say, now I must look at my life and see where my sin is. Where is my anger, my hatred, my unwillingness to serve or to give or to trust? And when I find my sin, then I must get rid of it. And then I can go to the sacrament. If I can't get rid of it, I promise to get rid of it. Then I'm fit to go to the sacrament. This examination is not a purgative examination. For if a person can thus, with some exercise, intelligence, make his sacrifice for sin and expurgate the sin, then what is the meal for? Is it meal only to confirm how adequately he has cleansed his own life or how pure is his sacrifice? No, the examination is this. Do we in fact cling to the sacrifice of Jesus alone as our purging, the burning out, washing out, flushing out of the sin? Or do we cling to our sacrifices, our intentions, to whatever idols our hopes build on? Or do we cling to the sin as if it were Lord over us, as if we belonged to it, as if it were so precious to us we could not bear to live without it? That's what you examine. Examine yourself. Judge the sin with the judgment of God. Discriminate between the persons or the things you are trusting to get your good, your life, or your deliverance. Is the lovelessness, the guilt, the pleasure, the awfulness of the sin, the enormity of it and its monstrosity, is it the weakness of your faith or the weakness of your life? Is it one of these or all of these that you love and cling to? Or in the midst of all of these, do you confess them to the judgment of God against sinners and cling only to this one man, to his sacrifice, to the victim God provided for himself, to the word that man says to you? That's what you discriminate when you examine yourself. This cup of salvation, this meal that we will drink and eat, is the foundation of all thanksgiving. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should, can you say it with me? At all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. These sacrifices of thanksgiving do not make the sacrament. They are the fruits of the sacrament. It is like a gushing fountain which sprays, and its spray touches everything to moisten, to perfume our lives in thanksgiving. The psalm says, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Thanksgiving does not draw back from this meal or from faith. Thanksgiving rushes to it, praises God's grace, and gathers to stimulate each other to love and to good work, to stir up, not with gossip and agitation, but with humility and service, that love may abound and good works may be rich. Thanksgiving uses the great grace of God in the midst of suffering, so that the believer is nurtured on endurance in the conflict with sin. We are not among those who draw back, said Hebrews. We are the ones who, in the time of great stress and distress, now are going to be nurtured on to endurance, because he who is coming will come quickly. So in the conflict with sin, you want to hunger and thirst. Ah, how hungers all my spirit for this love I do not merit. Oft have I, with sighs fast thronging, tumbling over each other, thought upon this food with longing, in the battle well my worsted, for this cup of life hath thirsted, for the friend who here invites us and to God himself unites us. So we call upon God. He loves it when you pray in your time of need, when you supplicate with him. Ask him for health and strength, for light and life. Asking him to do and to perfect what he has already given and promised to you, and which you hang on to for dear life. So thanksgiving refreshes itself in this meal, in the struggle against sin, in the weary pain of everyday living. It refreshes us to live again that life that is godly, that is, that life that trusts him. Thanksgiving that grows from faith receiving the blessings of Christ in this supper is the song of the life that gives all glory to God alone. So, my beloved, and I with you, listen tonight. Jesus earnestly desired to eat this meal with his disciples. Has Jesus changed his mind about us? He desires to eat this with us. Let the passion of his desire bring our desire to a high pitch, our hunger. He desires to bring to fullness the righteousness of the kingdom of God and to give that to you in his blessed body and blood. Let his desire stimulate ours so that with earnest desire and hungering for this food, we are made by him partners in his cross and in his glory. All glory be to God alone. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus for life everlasting. Amen.